The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We have made it. The second hour is live, and thanks so much for being here. We talked to John Talty in the first hour. We'll talk to Sam Pittman in about an hour from now. And coming up in a minute, Brooks Kabina on the latest from LSU. Let's check in with Raymond, who is up next. Hey, Raymond.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Hope you're having a wonderful day.
I am. Thank you.
First time caller, long-time listener. Was very, very, very impressed with the crowd for A-Day. I made my trip from Statesboro, Georgia, to the A-Day game, not only to catch the A-Day game, but to also catch the Alabama softball team.
Yes.
Unfortunately, they didn't do too well against Florida. But I must have sat in the cynical section of the stadium on Saturday, because everybody always focused on the negative. You know, yes, we missed some field goals. Yes, we had a turnover from Bryce that actually led to a touchdown. You know, I feel that everybody, you know, from last year's perfection was looking for more perfection. And I feel we'll be fine. I know a lot of the guys that were out were key opponents, but you know, one side of me, they were complaining about, oh, we can't run the football. And then the other side of me, there was, well, they're running the ball against, you know, our defense, and our defense certainly shows up. But I think the expectations are way too high right now for this group. There's no way they're going to match last year. It kind of reminds me of 3 years ago when I was at the A-Day game, and it was kind of the same thing. We couldn't run the ball. We couldn't score in the red zone. We couldn't score touchdowns in the red zone. You know, and it's like the circle of life. And this year, you know, the offense may struggle to start with, you know, unlike last year where the defense struggled to start with. It'll be great to see a beautiful defense just pound Miami into the ground and, you know, have our offense work things out. But all in all, it was, like I said, it was beautiful to see the crowd. My understanding is that was the largest crowd of any sporting event so far this year. So it's going to be very interesting come fall, you know, if they fully let the dogs loose and let us all in. Yeah, it's going to be beautiful come fall. Thank you. Thank you for
Raymond,
the call.
Thank you. And I don't know. I mean, you said a lot of interesting things. The thing I would hop on at the end was full crowds in the fall. And I don't think anyone wants to say that yet, because you don't want to get too far ahead, but it's going to happen. We are slowly moving toward that. And, you know, yeah, it would be better if everyone was on the same page, but we're not ever going to all be on the same page. But we are going to have full crowds, at least in the SEC, I think. That's an opinion. Nobody's told me. Not hard to figure out, though. Let's get to Charles, who is up next in Georgia. Hey, Charles.
Hey, how you doing?
Charles,
how you doing, Paul?
Doing great. Thank you.
The reason I'm calling, I want to know a lot more about the Clemson-Georgia game coming up early fall.
Well, it's the biggest game of the year in college football.
Is Clemson going to have an experienced quarterback?
No. The backup quarterback for Trevor will have played one or two games. So, he's not Trevor Lawrence, but I can tell you one thing: nobody in Clemson is overly concerned that he will be able to fill the bill?
Well, I look for him. He's cubbed under, or so to speak. He's played under Lawrence and Trevor Lawrence, and he should do a great job. But I'm hoping that the biggest thing I've got when Georgia's playing or getting ready to play, if the Georgia football players will stay out of trouble, stay out of the bars, stay out of the fights, and so forth, and come to that game clean. I mean, without a virus or without any kind of sickness, they just hang out together and come to the game clean, then Georgia has an excellent chance of running the table, I think, and being undefeated for the year if they follow what they should do.
Well, listen, Alabama had more than 20 players out for Saturday. Now, why were they out? Everyone knows why they were out. So I will say this about Georgia. I think by September, everyone is going to be in better shape. So I don't think that's going to be the overriding issue like it was last season. I can't control whether they go to bars or not.
Well, I'm looking forward to maybe getting to go to a game if I can find an off game where they're not sold out.
Well, Charles, that won't be easy, but there's a couple of games on Georgia's schedule I think you'll get in. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Spencer in Knoxville, Tennessee is up next. Hello, Spencer.
Hello, how are you doing today?
We are doing great.
I was wondering, what are your thoughts on the new transfer of Joe Milton come to Tennessee?
Well, I remember when he went to Michigan, there were high expectations, and he got into a battle with he did not fare well, but I don't blame him. I think he made a good decision. He's playing for a really good offensive coach in Josh Heupel, and I'm pretty optimistic. What about you?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
I think you could possibly win out the quarterback battle because, I mean, the coaches have worked with the quarterbacks for weeks now, and then bringing a transfer doesn't really help with the quarterbacks there right now.
Well, I think it tells you that the staff has taken a look and have said, you know, listen, this guy has experience, like Jim Harbaugh or not. He has a good reputation, and he hasn't done it. He hasn't converted it to a lot of, you know, championships yet. But I think it's good for Tennessee. I'll spare you the you can never have too many quarterbacks, because nowadays, if you have too many, you're going to lose a few of them, but I think it was a good pickup by Josh Heupel, and I think he clearly needed it. We are heading to a break. We're going to find out what's happening in Baton Rouge in a moment. Brooks Cabina, one of the top reporters in the country. He's been covering the off-the-field issues as well as the on-the-field issues, and he will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. There's a difference between people in our industry who take a peek at somebody's work and give an opinion, and then there are those few who do the work. And our next guest is notorious. Well, notorious might be a strong word, but he's definitely known for doing the hard work on many things off the field. And this one is interesting because Brooks Cabina joins us from Baton Rouge. And Brooks, so great to have you on. And I'm just going to sit back because I want you to explain, as we welcome you to our program, this project you took on and how there are a number of LSU fans who, having read your piece, are feeling pretty good right now. Good afternoon.
Yeah, of course. This was a three-month project that I worked on ever since Jake Teach was hired to be the new offensive coordinator at LSU. We knew that Ed Orgeron wanted to restore the 2019 spread offense, the one that Joe Brady came in as an unknown, lowly Saints staff assistant and came in, worked in tandem with Steve Ensminger to create that offense that helped LSU win the national championship and produce a Heisman Trophy winner and likely three first-round NFL wide receivers. So, Joe Brady went to the Carolina Panthers, and last year was really the first time he was ever a full-time coordinator at such a high level. And I wanted to take a close look at how his offensive scheme looked on the field and relate that to what Jake Peets, who was his quarterback coach there, how he'll look to implement that with LSU and relating it to what LSU did in 2019 and also what Carolina did in 2020. And then looking at the spring game this week, kind of waited for it as a natural peg to look at just a peek at what they did and see how it related. It took a lot. There was a lot of spreadsheets. It's about 42 spreadsheets that I'm wondering if I'm going to delete from my computer or compete, still keep for the season. But looked at every single play the Carolina Panthers ran. They ran 957 last year. And it boiled down to a few things that I wanted to make clear, the things that I learned and things that I understand from asking players and coaches about this system. And it's a lot like other spread systems in this way, but the main things that I found is, three main things. One, how personnel is used in this offense and how motions are used in this offense. And also the West Coast route tree that you see from many other NFL franchises and others in the college ranks that the Saints used while Joe Brady was there under Sean Payton. But the main thing that was interesting to me was these personnel groupings. There's tons of names for them. You could say them all, 11 personnel, 12 personnel. Basically, it means how many running backs, tight ends, and receivers are on the field at once. And people can get bogged down into this and understanding, okay, I want to run this many players out of this in this situation, to run the ball, to throw it deep and do these things. But this offense is more about taking the kind of players that are on the roster and making that flexible within any personnel that's run. I think any LSU fan, that's looked at the team over the past couple of decades was always, wondering, how come the offense isn't getting the most out of the recruits that are coming there? And in 2019, that was the first time we saw so much of that being used. And that's the reason there. One of the main things that I saw from Carolina was they used 11 personnel so often, just like 2019 did. That's three receivers, a tight end, a running back. But that gets shifted around so often. You can put a running back from the backfield into the slot receiver section. You can put a wide receiver in the backfield if you wanted to. Basically, they're flipping it all around so they can find the most advantageous matchup against the defense that opens up a big play. We saw a little bit of that on the spring game on Saturday. Right off the bat, they went five wide with out of 11 personnel. We didn't see all that many wide receiver in the backfields because, they don't want to tip everything that they saw. But we saw that from Jamar Chase in 2019 when they played Oklahoma in the Peach Bowl. But we also have heard, T.J. Finley. I was talking to him this week, quarterback, played in five games last year for LSU, and he said sometimes he forgets that the ex-receivers in the backfield with him. We know that the options are there to move these players around and figure out what the best way to attack a defense is. And you can also do that with motions. That was the second kind of thing I looked into. The Panthers use this a lot. Basically, every other play, they were using some type of pre-snap motion or shift. But that can help you out in a lot of ways. But in the ways that I saw, some of the times it was helping out in the numbers game. Basically, you take those personnel settings, you match players up on the field. There's this one play where, you know, Panthers had three wide receivers on the left side near the goal line, and that brought the defense far to the left. And you had one defender on the backside that was really with a lot of space there. And you can run a motion pitch the other way, and that gives you a chance at a touchdown. And it scored one for them. So we saw that play in the spring game. And then the routes, that was I tracked the routes. There's a bunch of them that you can list, hitches and seam and goes and things like that. But one of the things anybody who really watched LSU in 2019 was how well they used crossing routes. Multiple at once, the levels in the defense, different depths, basically creating space and opportunities for an open receiver. One of the things that I remember from a great game that year, LSU and Alabama, there was a wide open touchdown pass to Terrace Marshall where they ran three crossing routes at different levels in the defense that confused things. They also ran a motion on that also had some intricacies to confuse the defense there too. But it gives basically it gives those opportunities to create space and long plays. So those it was funny. I remember talking to Zach Streep, a longtime center for the New Orleans Saints. He's now an assistant offensive line coach there now. But he told me it's like there are no secret schemes to the New Orleans Saints offense under Sean Payton. I mean, anybody can turn on the film, kind of like I did, and look at all the routes, write them down. And then they'd have his playbook. The main thing is how do you shuffle them around and to know why you're going to use it in a certain time. And Jake Peets understands that. I mean, he's been in the West Coast system too. He worked with the Washington football team under Jay Gruden in 2014. He understands these things. And working with Joe Brady last year, he's bringing a lot of that to LSU again. And I think the main takeaway for me too is I wanted to show, like, just because the Carolina Panthers ran all this in 2020, it doesn't mean that's what LSU is going to do this year either, because it's flexible. I mean, just as they used Curtis Samuel, a receiver who was a good running back for them, they could go, one personnel, which was four receivers and a tight end, and that meant that they can go up tempo and keep a pass-ready defense on the field while they run the ball with Curtis Samuel, and they got a couple of touchdowns out of that. That doesn't mean LSU is going to do that all the time either. It could mean, if you look at LSU, they're very deep at running back. Although they were hurt in the spring, but, Terrion Davis Price and John Emery, and then they've got a couple of incoming freshmen, top 10 recruits at the position. You could see how Jake Peets might say, all right, we've got four really good running backs. How can we get them on the field? And that's something he said in his introductory press conference. He said, we're going to look at the scheme. We're going to look at the players we have. And if the best scheme is to have two running backs on the field, so be it. So the main takeaway for me, I wanted people to understand how flexible this offense can be. And there's some main pieces that I felt like I learned a lot. Hopefully by reading it on theadvocate.com, you can see that for yourself as well. And I'm no coach, so if anybody finds that and finds me on Twitter and says, hey, this thing's interesting too. And I love looking at these things and understanding these better.
Brooks, and I know Saturday may not have given it away, but what are you hearing? What is your sense of who will be calling the signals on the field, not in the press box?
In the scrimmage itself, the first half, especially Miles Brennan, who started the first three games of the year and was out for the year after tearing a abdominal muscle. He looked poised. He looked the best in that first half. He played with the first team offense and he looked comfortable in the pocket, made the best throws. His accuracy hadn't changed since his injury. He could still throw the deep ball well. He was accurate, short. I thought he looked the most impressive there, and the other quarterbacks didn't play as consistent in that first half. But Max Johnson, who had those major wins against Florida and Ole Miss in the last two games of the year last year, he did well in the second half. He made the same kind of throws that Brennan made. He had a long touchdown pass to John Terry Kirkland, a guy who may emerge as a playmaking wide receiver for LSU this year. But I mean, that was with the second team offense, but that's still a progression that you like to see out of those two guys. I think if you're looking at the spring game alone, those are the two that have set the pace for this quarterback race. And I just looking at that and how Brennan played with the first team, I might, from my eyes, say that he might have an edge right now. But, I mean, the coaches are going to take into factor the entire spring. They're going to go through the summer again and implement more of this offense. And then once August comes around, Ed Ogeron already said he's going to have to stop giving equal reps to all these guys as they prepare for week one against UCLA. And I think if he was divvying them up at the top, it would be between Brennan and Johnson, and then they would battle it out until that first game. So I think that's how it lays out right now, but obviously this could change in the next couple of months.
Let me wrap up just by talking about this experience, because it every reporter has his moment. I not to bore you, I did an investigative piece once that involved accounting, and I spent 3 or 4 weeks with a CPA looking at records. And by the end of it, Brooks, I swear I had no earthly idea what I was reporting on. In your case, you understand the sport a little bit better, but I mean, how exhausting in a good way, because you're looking at football plays here, but you know, just what was it like to go through this film?
You know, it took a lot. And obviously there's been a lot of news at LSU in the past 3 months, and to balance both, because you know, as I cover a sport and a lot of the incredible things these athletes do on the field, I want to be able to show readers that intricacy as well as doing that. So there were nights where I'd have to sit around to work on something that was in my back pocket. So you know, to finally hit publish on something and then get reception from people, it's something that could be really complicated over 3 months, and all this other stuff that I'm telling you. For someone to read it and understand it easily, that's the point. So that's been the takeaway so far for me, and I'm glad that's been the response so far. So, but it's nice to finally get that off the plate, because it takes some time, but it's definitely rewarding to do.
And I just wanted to thank you for being on it, and I was determined to have a conversation about on the field with you. We have not had many, frankly, we have not had any. Yeah. In about 4 or 5 months. So we'll come back to the other issues another day. But great job, Brooks. A real reporter doing what you did. And you are certainly leaving a lot of folks behind in your career by doing some of the things you are doing. Thanks so much for being here. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Anytime, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think everyone knows my past history, but Brooks Cabina at The Advocate is just becoming one of the truly great reporters that covers sports in this country. And his main beat lately has been covering the off-the-field issues, and just to be able to balance this is fascinating. We've had two of my absolute favorites on today already, John Talty and Brooks Cabina. You could start a newspaper with those two. And you wouldn't have to worry about too much else. We'll take a break. We have a lot to do on this program. 855-242-7285. You can start a football program with our next guest, Sam Pittman, and Arkansas is restarting with him and off to a great start. He'll join us in about 30 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back here on our program. Great to have all of you here. Greg is up next. Hey, Greg, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I got a couple of questions for you. What is your opinion of Bryce Young of Alabama? And what happened to Larry from Tuscaloosa?
Larry's still around. He was having a few health issues, but we haven't heard from him in a couple of weeks, but I believe he's doing okay. As far as Bryce Young, I feel pretty good. I try to look at the game as the end, not an individual situation, because you don't know everything about what is involved in that game. You don't know all the intricacies. I do know that, as you do, a number of players were not in the game, and that could have affected it either positively or negatively. But I thought Bryce Young has continued to show great improvement, and I think he's left no doubt that not only is he going to be the starter, he'll be a very good starter.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Okay, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Nice of you to call. And I don't mind. I don't want to. I mean, we all can't wait to get to the spring games and we watch them and we come to our conclusions. And what do they mean? Not very much, but that's fine. We'll have Coach Pittman on here in a few minutes. And of all that, we've talked to so many coaches, and they're all pretty honest. They don't put much on the field because they know that everyone's paying attention, and you don't want to give too much away. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Greg. Let's check in with Tom, who is up next. Hey, Tom. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
I'm well.
I'm a retired police officer. And my brother is the captain for the Huntsville Fire Department. My grandson plays football for Columbia. I've been around sports all my life. I've played sports. I've coached sports. And I played quarterback in high school. And my question for you is, in the spring game, which quarterback do you think is going to start?
If we're talking about Alabama, I presume we are. My answer is Bryce Young. I don't think it's that close either. That's just my opinion.
Okay. I knew they had three good quarterbacks.
Yeah, we didn't see one of them, and he had to miss the game, and that made it a little more difficult to differentiate, but. And most of what I'm saying is not based on the game. It's based on what I've been hearing from people who are seeing practice and talking to coaches.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you. And you've had one fascinating career. And thank all your relatives who are doing such great service. And you as well. Andrew is in Tennessee, and you're on the air. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to get your opinions on the Tennessee spring game coming up this weekend, specifically the quarterback situation. Reports coming out have been that Maurer's getting a lot of first-team reps, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I've heard that, and now we understand Milton from Michigan may be heading that way, which I think is I think it adds a very interesting wrinkle, but I don't know how to answer it until Saturday, and I think Josh Heupel wants to see what happens on the field. And, you know, one thing about Josh Heupel, that's his position. He certainly is looking for a specific thing. I don't want to overanalyze the movement from Milton, because what's Heupel supposed to do? He's seen film on Milton. He knows what Milton's all about. I'm sure he's talked to coaches. So I think it's leading some people to believe that Tennessee hasn't found his quarterback. I'm not sure that's 100% accurate. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Daryl is up next, Kentucky. Hey, Daryl, go right ahead.
Hello, Paul. How you doing, buddy?
I'm well.
Hey, Tiger Baker. I had to ask you a question. I was having a good, great evening there listening to you all a while ago talking about football, and one of your fans, or I don't know if one of our fans or not, but call from Georgia and said Georgia would run the table, and I just don't see it, Paul. I don't want you to answer my question, then I'm going to hang up. I think that Clemson will beat them, and I do know that Alabama is going to run over top of them, And I think Alabama is sort of like Kentucky in basketball. They got a, both of them got targets on their back. I'm going to hang up and let you answer that question.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you, I really liked Georgia's chances until George Pickens went down. I'm now going to reassess. We have Cole Kublik on later, who was on the field. So I'm particularly eager to get his opinion. And you know, we have all summer to figure out what ours is. Let's check out Bob. Who is up next? Hey, Bob, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
I am well. Thanks a lot.
Hey, I wanted to ask you a question or two about the Cincinnati Bearcats, if I can.
Sure.
We were lucky enough to keep our coach for another year, and maybe, I don't know, it seems a little different than some of the guys we've had around, the one that maybe might not leave at the first opportunity. With all that being said, what's looking at it from a Cincinnati standpoint, what's the best they can hope for?
Well, I think what you, first of all, let me say this about Luke Fickell. I don't know what's in the back of his mind. I know him. We've had him on here a couple of times, and I think he's a really smooth operator, but he has turned down some major jobs in the Big Ten, as you know, elsewhere. And I've yet to, you know, I mean, I've asked him about it, and you know, he was somewhat circumspect in how he answered it. But I think he really believes he's building a great, I apologize, these allergies are getting everybody. I really believe he's building a major program there. And I think the evidence is what we saw during the season and even in the Georgia game. I mean, Cincinnati probably should have won the game, didn't. And what that win would have meant is incalculable. But I think Cincinnati is in a phenomenal spot. And I think it, you know, Luke is a big part of that.
Yeah, I quite honestly, Paul, I think the Georgia game was a giveaway. I mean, that was a coaching error that should have never happened.
No, you're right.
From the offense, of course. But his son, I know, has enrolled here now, too. And I don't know that that should ever make a difference with somebody's way of thinking. But
Bob, it could.
I know all of us here hope.
Here's the only thing I will say that, you know, and, you know, I don't remember a lot about his experience when he was the interim head coach at Ohio State. But he may have come to the conclusion, I don't like that. I mean, we all reach various points in our career where we go, you know what, do I really need to do that when I can do this and make a lot of money and be happy? And I'm just guessing because I wouldn't swear or try to pretend that I know Luke Fickell well enough, but he's in a great city. He's got the world by a string. And just to go somewhere like Michigan State a couple of years ago or somewhere else when you don't know whether you're going to be successful or not. How many of these jobs work out? How many times are we saying, hey, that's a home run hire, and then three years later, 4 years later when the coach is pushed out the door, we're all just looking around hoping nobody remembers what we said 3 or 4 years ago. So, you know, maybe this is where he wants to be. For you, I hope it is. So let's take a break. Sam Pittman is where he wants to be. He's at the University of Arkansas, and he'll join us in about 15 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and Logan is up next in Wyoming. Logan, thank you, and welcome to our program. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? It's my first time on the show.
Thank you.
My daddy, he calls in all the time, and real big fan of yours, usually when I got nothing to do during the summer. I got you on. I'm actually from Camden, Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
I'm in Rock Springs, Wyoming right now on a shutdown. But I just got a question for you and Sam Pittman. Maybe you can relay or whatever. But Arkansas took some strides in defense last year where nobody, I think, was really expecting it, not even true Arkansas fans, knowing what we have on that side of the ball. What do you think the progression is going to be in year two? And also, Frank Burrell's fast-paced offense seemed to not. It didn't click at times in some games, especially in key situations. And where do you think that'll progress this year under a new quarterback as well.
Well, thank you very much, Logan, for the call and the question. I will ask Coach because he will be with us in about 9 minutes. So thank you very much for that. Ed is up next in Memphis. Hey, Ed.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, I like to ask you, how you get the pit boss coming on? Could you ask him whatever happened to the Boyd kid who was a good running back a couple of years ago? And I guess he left because he got fed up with Coach Morris. But is there any chance of him being able to come back and play?
Ed, I don't know, but I appreciate the question. And this will be an easy interview because I've already had two questions posed for the pit boss. He'll be joining us in just a moment. Let me check out Ray in Indiana. Hey, Ray. Don't hear Ray. Let me try George in Kentucky. George, thank you, and good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you. Your show's like fine wine. You improve with age.
Thank you.
question for you. Who does Alabama play in non-conference games this coming season, assuming they play any non-conference games?
Yeah, they have four. The big game is against Miami. That's the first game of the year. They have Mercer. I know you'll be wanting to get tickets for that one. Southern Miss, which is a traditional game, and New Mexico State.
Okay, you've answered my question on that. And how do you think their new offensive coordinator will do?
I don't know if I could be any higher on an offensive coordinator. I think Bill O'Brien is just a fantastic hire. And that's not only built on his resume, which is superb, but I just think from what I'm hearing, he is going to fit in really well and has fit in really well.
Okay. Well, whatever you're doing, it ain't broke, so don't fix it. I appreciate your taking
Thank you
call.
Very much for saying that.
Right.
Appreciate
right.
it. You be well. Let's take on, let's see here. How about Buddy? I'll get it right. Buddy is in Florida. Hey, Buddy.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
I want to say something, just talk a little bit about your friends on Get Up. And
okay.
I know this is your show, and you get a lot of opportunity to be on there, which we absolutely love seeing
you
on there. But these guys are all talking about the athletic quarterback. And I know there's code words and things that get thrown around. Athletic is not any more black or white. There's look, Josh Allen has proven that, right? So this guy can run and play,
yes.
And so can Trevor Lawrence. So the question I have is, look at if you take the last, basically, I'm sitting here looking at it right now, last 20 quarterbacks that have been in the Super Bowl, we're looking at Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, of course, 100 of, just go ahead and multiply Tom Brady by 20. He's been in all of them. We've got Joe Flacco. We've got
Buddy, my apologies. We have to go to the break. We are coming right back with much more right after this.